We have about 30 years of oil at best left in the world, if we're lucky. Coal is just about done for. I mean, everything's getting too expensive now. We don't really want to burn stuff and pollute the atmosphere. So alongside the drug companies, the oil companies are really feeling the pinch as well. So who's buying the materials? I have a theory that probably it's the oil and drug.
Bye-bye, Mr. BP.
Come on, Rama, one more, right? Is it the last one?
I think so.
Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guests are Bob Neverett and J.W., who is best known as the non-physical entity ION. Bob is a former intelligence community insider and member of the Secret Council of 10, so we already have some questions coming up about all of that, and we're going to find out more tonight about J.W. and ION. Their website is www.howionic.com. So let's welcome them both to the show now. Hi, Bob and Ion. How are you?
Hello, Lance.
Good evening. You there?
Good evening, Ion. It's quite an honor to talk to you tonight.
Yes, it's a great pleasure indeed. Thanks for hosting us, and we want to get into all your good questions and then share lots of insight and information.
Wonderful. Bob, now, I was a little curious about your background. That Secret Council of 10 kind of intrigued my, piqued my curiosity. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. You can go to FiveBodied, FiveBodied.com and see the website, the ongoing blogs and forums, and hear the whole history, but I'll give you a quick synopsis.
Yeah.
I was born in 1922 in a family in France that was a butler for 300 years for one of the richest families in Europe, and you can even read a story by Charles Dickens in a collection of his miscellaneous journalistic articles where he refers to my great-grandfather, Dobbs. And that's a side thing. That's about 1854 or so. Anyways, growing up in that environment, the European oligarchs, after World War I, you got that crisis in the 20s due to the electronic radio environment that made currency become inflated. So it collapses in the late 20s and early 30s, and money becomes public property in the 30s. That's the beginning of the welfare states, the fascist states, the social states, the communists, and the New Deal. And therefore, the private ownership of money was weakened and vulnerable. So the intelligence agencies that the oligarchs in Europe used up through World War II and then were really effective. Remember, the main image of World War II is the collapse of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which was a figurehead for the city of London and that historical interchange, interlinked money system known as the oligarchy or the Fondi, F-O-N-D-I, an Italian word for trust. So after World War II, there was really no real structure to support the intelligence agencies that had been around the oligarchies, so they formed their own network based on their historical power, and all they did was monitor, and they had the telecommunications to do it, monitor what was happening as, quote, the world government around the United Nations and the American Empire got solidified. And so because it was such a smaller circle, my father was brought in as a butler for his employer and boss. He was brought in to do intelligence work in the 20s and 30s, and you can read my diaries all about that, and which are on the site. But the point is, I was brought in at the end of World War II at the Battle of the Bulge. Look at that movie, Inglourious Bastards.
Yes, that was quite an entertaining film.
Yeah, that's the environment I was in the late 1944-45 period around the Battle of Malmedy and the Battle of Bulge, and the exchange of the Project Paperclip scientists and the beginning of bringing the Nazis over. So I was on the inside of that, And then I came to North America in the 50s and worked around the old Rockefeller establishment. Eventually became head of the Secret Council 10, which really meant the solar government, which was the people who could monitor on the highest level, known popularly now as Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N. You might have heard of Echelon. That was the leftover of the solar government structure. And we would be looking into the latest technologies. That's what I did. I was there with Albert Hofmann the week that he found LSD. That was only by accident. I was there with my father in April 43. In retrospect, we found out that was the week he had the famous bicycle ride. But those kind of things we would be on top of, because we had to see what technologies would allow us to get back in into maybe a stronger position.
Interesting. Now, who's running the show today? Have things changed dramatically since then? Is there some kind of power structure shakeup at all that's going on?
That happened in the 1980s, and in the final throes of the Secret Council 10, the solar government, in 1988, I became chairperson or chairman of the thing, and I consciously disbanded it in 1990. You saw the surface effects of that was the death of Prince Turnintaxis, T-H-U-R-N-U-N-D-T-A-X-I-S. You can read about him in Thomas Pynchon's book, Crying of Lot 49. And the collapse of Buckingham Palace, of Prince Charles in that scene with Lady Di freaking out, and the end of the Gorbachev Empire, and what was the other thing? And there was another factor. What was it? You got the Gorbachev goes down, Prince Charles goes down, Turnintaxis, and then the weakened Rockefeller family. So anyways, that situation, I disbanded. And you can read the steps of how that happened in my diary. And so it was in nowhere place, and I'm going to get into a perfect pattern that leads us into ION.
Okay.
McLuhan explained that all technologies were extensions of our senses, inner and outer. So you finally had the extension of the central nervous system with television and computers, and then the extension of the planet itself by a satellite. Then the digital technology comes in. Now, I call that the Android meme, and what that is, that's technologies coming alive and extending themselves. Not the human body's parts and faculties were not being extended anymore after the satellite. So we've seen over the last 30, 40 years the extension of technologies within technology. It's doing its own thing. And you just look around at the pop culture. Everybody sat in the sidelines from the time of Reagan on. Everybody said, well, technology's out of control. Well, that situation of the Android meme collapsed over the last few years, and we now have not the extensions of our faculties or machines extending themselves. We have the non-physical showing up as an extension, and that's ION. It's a new technology.
Huh. Very interesting. Now, let's segue into JW and ION and how you both met, and then how JW first came into touch with ION and had that experience. I have a feeling it's kind of dramatic.
Yeah, it begins with my my partner, my bride, Dr. Carolyn Dean, who is sitting here and could speak if she wants to, but she's monitoring this conversation here in Maui. But she met JW in Atlanta, Georgia in December 2005. They had a conversation. They did a little business, but nothing dramatic. It was just a new person for each of them to meet. But a few 3 months later, JW called up Carolyn and said, I heard you quote your husband on a few statements, and I'd like to know what the heck he was talking about. Can I talk to him? Because I was not at the meeting. So we got on the phone, and we got talking, and we've never stopped talking on the phone, and that was through 2006. And in April 2007, we went and visited. Carol and I visited him in Atlanta and met him personally, and we hit it off. And that was that. And then we went to Hawaii, and then in late, December, January, JW, who had shown a bit of psychic ability when I met him, I didn't know how much he was involved in it, and he was interested in the Abrahams, if you've ever heard of them, Esther Hicks. Anyways, we talked about that because I knew about the Evergreens. They were the best medium I considered from 1974 to 2004 when they stopped, 30-year stretch, and intelligence agencies, governments use the Evergreens. Anyways, so JW reports that he started to see new worlds through the windows of his home. He could see other worlds. And I said, well, beg your pardon?
That's amazing.
Did I say something? Okay, no, wait, I thought Ion said, okay. Anyways, he starts seeing worlds or something, and he reported, and I said, okay, sure, yeah, whatever, whatever you, you know, I wasn't doing it, seeing it, and he was reporting it, but I'm not a judgmental person. I've been around psychic stuff for decades. So we enjoyed JW stories. But then in February, he said, I'm seeing dead people in my home. I say, what do they look like? He said, well, that leather chair that you sat in the main room there, there's a guy sitting there, and he looks like a dapper gentleman from the 1940s or something, dressed like that period. And I said, can you talk to him? He says, yes, if I address him, you'll talk to me. And he said, there's a bunch of other people. He described a few others. And I said, okay. So personally, I probably said to Cal, boy, J-Dub is really freaking out, man. What happened to him? but we were calm. We did not let our private thoughts in, and we didn't tell J.W., which turned out to be important. He was very nervous about telling anybody this because it was not respectable in his world to talk about that, and he didn't want to lose our friendship over it, you know, that we thought he was mad. Right. Anyways, a few days later, he tells me that a Dr. Peter Beter came. I said, do you know Dr. Beter? No. He said, Dr. Beter came to me, and he said, tell Bob hello. Say hi to Bob. And I go, wow, Dr. Beter, my friend, died in 1987. He was part of the Secret Council 10 structures, and he died in March 87, and I talked to him many times through the Evergreens subsequently, even was able to take a message to his wife and children in 1988 in Washington, D.C. Anyways, the fact that Dr. Beter spoke to J.W., I started thinking, wow, maybe these are the Evergreens gathering around again. They hadn't been functioning since 2004. Late 2004. So I had this absurd notion that the Evergreens were coming back. Don't know why I thought that, but who knows? So the next day, March 18th, we arranged for Caroline to call up JW, and at some point we're talking, and I said, okay, now let's just be quiet for 30 seconds, and let's see what happens. And so on March 18th, after 30 seconds, quiet, Carol's sitting there with her computer, very fast typist, ready to see what's happening. We didn't know what was going to happen, so we didn't record it. And we don't have a recording of what I asked, but later Ion told me, recalling it, that I asked who's speaking. So apparently I said that, and Ion gave an opening statement which basically went, this is about the process of experience between you, Carolyn, and JW as relates to the psychic work you discussed last night, which would be March 17th. Well, we hadn't talked to this voice, so it must have been talking to us, it must have been referring to us talking about the Evergreens, you know, the night before, whatever. And so then Carolyn typed the voice talking to me for 2 hours. And with the Evergreens, since I could talk to Marsh McLuhan and everybody, Frank Zappa, published those interviews, the thing is that was my standard. If this is a good psychic, then I'm going to be able to talk to dead people. And I asked if McLuhan was there. He immediately said something, or the voice said immediately, something about his daughter who I work with, Mary. And it was very personal, and no one could know it. I knew it. And I go, holy cow, this is McLuhan. How else could anybody know? And he knew to say that so that I know it was him. And so I was impressed with that. So we talked for 2 hours about it. Carolyn transcribed it. And then when we finished, I don't even know how we ended. I have to go back and look at the transcript. But anyways, we ended, and then JW came back into consciousness. And he says, the first thing he says is, let's do that again. And I said, why? He says, it felt like a constant orgasm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Great fun. And so now we've done over 2,600 hours in over a year.
Wow. What is the bulk of some of the information that Ion is bringing through, and why is he showing up at this time? I think that...
Ion, do you want me to give my puny opinion, or should you answer that?
Oh, you can start, and then we'll clean up on aisle five if it becomes required.
Okay, it is pretty remarkable. You can go to howionic.com and click on the About Ion section, and if your computer is relatively healthy, you will hear Ion discuss its main message, which was recorded on March 24th in one of our long 11-hour sessions with Ion after our radio show. And on that, he describes the emptying of the guff and the consequences of that. The guff is, from Hebrew religion, a term that refers to where souls go. And so it's, quote, heaven, or where you go when you transition. So the guff is going to get so filled up by a major mass exodus, whatever that means, a major mass exodus, It'll get so filled up that it'll spill back into this world, and we will be, by default, immortal. And those that understand this process don't have to go to the guff. They can stay here, live in the physical forever, be conscious of this process, and welcome all those that come back by default. Hmm.
Wow. Wow. Is this in any way connected to the many prophecies and 2012 timelines that we hear so much about today?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've had a lot of time to talk. I'm pretty articulate in discussing ION because I've had time through many hours to refine what the heck ION means and what the heck I mean and match our terms and get it going. And in any conversation, the McLuhan used to say, there's very little communication in terms of matching. There's a lot of assumptions and miscommunications that people let ride, which is okay, but I'm not that kind of mind. So I know exactly. Now, what was the point? I forgot the point that the thing to add to this. Oh, yeah. I am pointed out that I was a member of some kind of Illuminati, some part of my present self, in 1400s, and we planted the Illuminati, whoever they were, planted the knowledge of ION coming. And so you can find wherever these Illuminati writings, it's in there. But here's the main point. I asked, are you talked about in Nostradamus? And ION said, yes, in what's called the third century. There's like each century is 100 quatrains. So in the third collection, the third century, quatrain 6, you can read exactly what ION, I didn't find this out till a couple of months ago, I just happened to ask the question, and ION had been talking about the wave that was coming and this and that and the wall for many months, so those were terms. So if you read that quatrain, you will see it mentions the wave will come to the wall. It's literally ION talk right there in 3.6.
Huh. Interesting.
So I think that's all I want to say. Go over to ION.
Okay. ION, what can you help us to understand what's happening at this time? And, you know, you speak a lot about us being creator gods with amnesia. Are we ever going to let go of that amnesia and wake up and regain our memories?
Well, that's a great question. We're not here to say that you're actually asleep, but we will take it from the first part of understanding. Typically, we like to overlay thoughts, the essence of creations that you evoke, because when you understand something, and if you actually get what that word means, you climb up under something, and then you try to stand up, and the best thing you get is a sore noggin. As you understand things, but the things that you supposedly understand, if you can overlay them with a new thought process, then that affects the belief system. Now, what's a belief? A belief is just a thought you've been thinking for a long time. But for humans, it's very difficult to come against a belief. If someone believes it, it's pretty much written in stone. But those beliefs do shift, wax, and wane as you overlay them with new thoughts for a long time, and you can amend or suspend your actual belief system. See, human creators, when it was early days, they decided it would be a really cool idea to separate their power and put it in a box. They speak about the Ark of the Covenant, and they talk about the Dallas Cowboys. They talk about there's lots of things that human creators imbue with power, as you may call it, magically. But they separate the power from themselves. Well, it got so much power that there was a veil that separated the power that the human creators gave to the box. And so then a veil had to separate you from that power. Then in the Christian church, they speak of when the veil was rent in two. That just meant that separation no longer had to be. And, of course,
Jesus did that, ION. Jesus did that, right?
Yes, yes.
The third Jesus.
And the whole point is Jesus wouldn't be invited into his own church these days, so there's a bit of dogma that kind of runs through there. But if you take the words that Jesus actually said, there were three of them, by the way, but the most important canons that got included from the Council of Nicaea were that these things I have done on this earth you'll do in greater things. Mm-hmm. And this power that you've separated yourself from now no longer requires a separation. And this godship that you are into the transition place of is actually because human creators now are entertaining this capacity, it's actually also thinning the veil. So that makes your show very, 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 very popular from the very window that people are seeking out, intrigued, interested in finding out dynamics of the power that they supposedly separated themselves from in the beginning place. Therefore, folks, you know, 30 years ago, you'd have probably been put into an insane asylum for the works that you're so graciously providing for your listening audience now. Whereas now, it's very commonplace and normal. It's not odd to speak of having the spiritual gifts, having those gifts activated. It's not odd when people talk about bilocating to other worlds. It's not odd to consider parallel worlds and all the deliciousness that comes from your place of power. Now, be careful. We're not speaking of authority. President Obama has lots of authority, but he doesn't have any power. What we're talking about is power. And if you have power, then the cares of life very quickly grow strangely dim. And if you realize that everything in your world and your reality, you individually created, inner kingdom, outer kingdom, middle kingdom, and your name, the middle kingdom would be your now, and there is no time, it's a false premise that humans created. So when you eliminate time as you are an eternal being, then this eternalness that is you is now coming into its place, into its original place of in its power. You see, there's a delicious experience that you can actually, even your scientists, now we're not great lovers of science because all they'll do is tell you all they can prove is what they can't dismiss. So, but granted and given that, even science recognizes that there's more space, what we call non-physical, within your meat sack body than there is meat. If they took all the space from between the nucleus of your cells to the protons and the electrons in every cell in your body, there are more cells in your body than there are stars in the sky. If you took all the space out of those cells, you could put the entire population, all 7 billion of you, all those cells together in the size of a sugar cube. That'd be a heavy sugar cube. But you have much more non-physical in you already than you can imagine. And that's the eternalness, the eternal part of you. And coming into your power, then you have, as you can maintain your eternalness, you're eternal regardless. And the only way you get off, you lay your meat sack body down, is you decide to lay it down. So therefore, very quickly, we'll tell you that every death on this planet is a suicide. You don't go unless you choose to go. And that's true every single time without fail or exception. And that's pretty euphoric when you get down into the place of it. Because folks start, what about? And we go, no. It is a choice. It is a choice. You ask and answer the question, what's the fastest path to your joy? And when you answer that question and laying your meat sack down becomes the correct answer for you, then you will lay your body down. Very difficult to expire in ICU, and yet they still do.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned something that was another possibility that we're starting to open up to, and that is that it had to do with the guff, and that we may not need to be to ever leave the physical body as it is.
Many human creators are still here that never left. They got it. So they're still around. Now, they don't get on the front page of the New York Times or the Washington Post, obviously. But at the same time, they're working, they're living their lives, following their bliss, pleasing and delighting themselves. Your feelings become unhurtable when you find your place of power because you get it. And once you get it, then you just very easily find the better it gets, the better it gets, the better it gets. And then you can very seamlessly flow in this delicious creator position on the planet, which was the promise originally anyway, you see. That's the only way that the Hebrews got into bondage with Pharaoh is they asked Pharaoh to buy them and put them in bondage. You are human creator, more powerful than you know. You're so free, you can choose bondage. Now, that's pretty free.
Yes, indeed. How do we reconcile that with what we see going on in the world with all of the wars and, you know, the corporations running things and chemtrails and genetically modified
food? Oh, we love them. We love chemtrails. Get a great big old bucket full of them. Yes, exactly right. And the wars, that's the issue with wars. The only time you have a war is when you have more authority than you have power. And then you got to whoop the man that says it isn't so. But when you come into your place of power, all that wars and rumors of wars withers away. You marvelous human creators, it's a great experience. We've had such great fun with this lately. Most last winter, a lot of folks like to froze to death during this global warming that you're enjoying. And try as you might, you marvelous creators, you haven't destroyed this little ball of earth that you engage and enjoy. Even though you've tried, you still haven't destroyed it. Human creators are more powerful individually than the sum total of all those running around saying they have authority over whatever. And we've got an example. We have an example. In the U.S., now, your listening audience, I'm sure they're from all around the world, but specifically those in the U.S. are kind of enjoying this right this second. All you heard for a bit was lack of oil, 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 lack of oil. We'll build a pipeline in Afghanistan. She got the gold mine and I got the shaft kind of business. I want the oil well, but somewhere else. Well, human creators have heard that and heard that and heard that to the point that they want pressed down, shaken together, overflowing abundance. Well, out of that abundance, that's the thought, I want oil, I want oil, I want oil. Well, guess what? Now you've just about got the Gulf of Mexico full of oil. You can have all you want. Just come get you a dipper full. They won't say a word. You can have all the Texas tea you're interested in. It's great. And that's a manifestation from the human creator saying, we want abundance. Well, now everybody's pushing against it, just like they did global warming, which then caused global cooling last winter, first time they ever had on record. Every state in the union, all 50 states, had snow on the ground at some place.
Oh, yeah.
First time ever. And that was in global warming, because people have had enough of global warming. The same thing is true. If you recall, it wasn't long ago everybody's spraying their hairspray on their ratting their hair up and doing their triple processes with the hairspray, punched a hole in the ozone. It was going to be over. It was going to be over. The gamma radiation's going to fry you. You can't have a crop. It's going to be over. The solar winds are going to destroy you. On and on and on. Well, all of a sudden, they quit talking about it. Boom. I guess it patched itself up. You don't hear about the ozone anymore. People hadn't got through selling their stuff that they piled up over Y2K. That's when it was supposed to be over. Oh, it's over. It's over. They're still trying to peddle their Y2K stuff, which now they've converted into 2012, which is nothing other than the end of the beginning. It's nothing other than that. The scriptures are very clear, and we don't have a problem with the scriptures, but then we don't have much problem with anything these days. There'll come a time on earth when time shall be no more. That doesn't mean the world's going to be destroyed. That means you're going to throw the clocks out. That means that you're going to recognize the false premise of time. Yeah. It already is a false premise. Because some days go by, zoom, they're gone. They say time flies when you're having fun. But go sit through a deposition or do something or be on jury duty, and that clock all but stops, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, if you have the propensity and the capacity to speed it up and slow it down, what's the point in it? Now, we don't have issue with timing. That's how you engage at a certain timing, like syncing up timing to enjoy your show. And others that are your listening audience, they can use timing to calibrate of the appointed timing to join together to enjoy your guest of the night. You see? Mm-hmm. No problem, no problem. We don't have issue with timing. It's this whole thing of time is money and money is time. Well, if there is no time, then guess what you just did to money?
Wiped it out.
Well, isn't that what they're talking about at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Sally Mae? Oh, no, not Sally Mae yet. Give it a minute. It'll be Sally Mae next. But isn't that what happened? Everybody had 40 acres and a mule. They had a chicken in every pot and had a window to throw it out of. And everybody had a Mac mansion. And, boy, everything is just rolling. And then all of a sudden everybody said, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's unemployment. They said there was unemployment before there was unemployment. They said everybody was going to lose their house before anybody lost their house. And then the next thing you know, everybody went from zero to hero overnight, and then they went back to zero and worse than zero immediately. Just because they announced it. Well, that's outer kingdom business. That's from the outer kingdom, what we call the boob tube or the looky box or the world wide web, and pick your chip body, pick something you want to. All that does is that wraps up succinctly and brings back to the point what a marvelous creator you are. And if you get that, if you take personal responsibility to everything that's going on planet Earth, then you find your power, and then you can overlay it with a new thought and change it to suit you. We must tell you, not everyone lost their house. We must tell you, not everyone went to the poorhouse. We must tell you, not everyone, some of those folks didn't even have a worky job, so they didn't lose a worky job. For some human creators, money flows freely and easily to them. They have no issue. For some people, they have, in their meat sack body, they have issue, and then they overlay it with a new thought, and then their body naturally, perfectly corrects itself. It's not a problem. Take Alzheimer's victims. It's great fun. They'll be feeble, and their livers ain't working, and their hearts quit ticking, and their minds quit doing, and they're just falling apart, and they're on two sackfuls of pills, and law, it's just on death's door. When they don't want to die, but they get real tired of living, so they catch Alzheimer's. And guess what happens? They learn to relax and allow. And guess what happens? The cares of life grow strangely dim. Now, that's why they have to build these insane asylums to put the Alzheimer's victims in. Do you know why? Their bodies get better. They no longer have dietary restrictions. They no longer have sugar diabetes. Their bodies, they don't have these issues, so their body naturally adjusts itself to get back to the way that it naturally works anyway. You don't have the same lips that you had 5 years ago. You don't have the same rectum that you had a year ago. Your cells are constantly sloughing off, and you are replacing them. And what you're replacing them with is what you tell those cells to replicate. So if you had power, you could adjust the information going to those cells, and guess what? No problem. No issue. No problem in the meat sack body. And any issue that you do experience or bump into or find, because, see, we're not having trouble with contrast. That just lets you know what you choose. If you get up in the night to go pee and you stump your big toe on something, you might have an explanative to say as you knock your toe off. But guess what? The pain that you feel from that experience, that's not a bad thing. It lets you know you've got a big toe.
Yeah.
You could get neuropathy to such a degree that you didn't feel it. You could knock your toe off, get gangrene, and the thing rot off. So that contrast that you experience, however minor, it goes away soon enough. but it lets you remember, your big toe says, hey, big toe, don't be cramming me into things. That's smart.
Yeah.
Okay? But that's not an issue. That's just how you prefer to mind your P's and Q's and your steps so you don't knock your toe off. It's not a problem. It's delicious. You can't get it wrong, and you never get it done. This thing called life. When is laundry done?
I don't know. When it's done?
When? Never. If you get every stitch of dirty clothes you got, if you get every stitch of dirty clothes you got washed up, when you take the clothes off you got on, they're right back to laundry again.
Yes, I was noticing that today.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And that's not a problem. You enjoy having clean, fresh, washed, laundered, ironed clothes.
But if we were truly powerful, wouldn't we be able just to think and manifest clothes into existence that were...
You do already. You do already. How did the clothes you have now get into your experience?
Well,
you
didn't go to the store and buy them.
Where did you know to go?
You know, where they sell those things, clothes.
Like, okay. And so, therefore, and the style was set up in such a way that you even had choices and propensity of what you'd like to enjoy. Has no one ever gifted you with a shirt?
Oh, yes, it has.
Well, that showed up in your reality, and you didn't even have to go to the clothing store, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, same way. That this process, humans like this process of chasing after things
to pick
and choose, and it's wonderful. Yeah. And how can a shirt cost 50 cents at the Goodwill and be made of the exact same thing that Hermes sells one for $1,500 for?
Yeah.
There's a difference somewhere, but we don't know where.
Yes.
It's made out of cotton. They're both cotton. They both do the same thing, and yet one's 50 cents and one's $1,500. So that's the essence of how far your propensity or capacity of creation goes. It goes the entire gamut. It goes the extreme. Everything that's ever been created that's got a name, human creators created it. Every single time without fail or exception. How many people died of cancer before they named it?
I don't know.
Not one. But they named it.
Mm.
And oh boy, then everybody started catching the cancer. And then it was pretty drastic.
Well, do a lot of our subconscious thoughts and fears and projections also end up molding the external environment?
What is subconscious?
What would you call
subconscious?
Well, something that we're not aware of at the conscious level.
What is that? There is nothing you're not aware of. If you're not aware of it, then it is not. There is no subconscious or unconscious, for that matter. There is not that separation.
There's not even consciousness.
There's not even consciousness. That's exactly right. Are you conscious now? Are you whole in your body now?
I would probably answer that negatively.
Right, and that would be truthfully said. And if you said the other way, we'd say, okay, get a microscope and put your hand under the microscope and look at it. Look at it real close, and it won't be long. If you have any decent magnification, you'll see right through your hand.
Oh, yeah.
You're going, holy crap, wait a minute. I have a hand. I feel my hand. I see my hand. Do I prick my hand and it not bleed? Well, and yet even so, you can see right through it.
So
that's the place of power that we're speaking of. And it's all encompassing. So you can be, do, or have anything. And that's the time we're in now, as far as timing goes. Now, human creators that embrace this and they play with it, and there's a word Bob uses a lot, and we agree with what they call tactility, because every conversation is two conversations. meaning every conversation is just that. It's two conversations. So as you warm up and come into this particular place, every choice is just that. It's a choice. There's not a wrong choice. There's just a preferred choice. But sometimes you kind of got to screw things up so you can see what you like.
That's true, yes. Yeah,
and that's not
right.
a problem. If you know you can't get it wrong, and you know it's like laundry, you're never going to get it done, that takes all the pressure off of all this fear-based reality of not being in your place of power. And isn't it interesting when you ignore, get rid of, push against, and just dismiss something that it withers away? It's amazing. Second they quit talking about it, it gets better.
So in if to actually eliminate something from our lives that we don't desire, the ideal way to do that would be to not focus on that. Is that
right? And, I mean, you can't uncreate. You can't uncreate.
Okay.
But you can overlay with a new thought, a new process. And that's nothing other than, do you have to taste every single flavor of ice cream that there is to decide which flavor you prefer? No. People, humans, they don't know what they like. They like what they know.
Interesting.
Okay? It is. When you think about it, now, we ain't made up any new words tonight. We're using y'all's words. We spend a great deal of time with Noah Webster, the lexicographer. If you humans knew what you were speaking out of your mouth, which is the essence of all creations, many of the words that you use isn't what you mean. And then that's what shows up, and then you're confounded with your very essence of creation. So, as you get type specific, now here you set this up. You got one mouth, one behind, and two ears.
Okay.
And we jokingly say you should use them accordingly. What comes out of your mouth, your ears hear, and every thought that you think in your mind, we call it the labyrinth of your mind, the intelligent community, they have a vast labyrinth. All that means is that they can't figure out nothing. The simpletons, they have a straight shot through. It is, it or it ain't. Well, if it is, okay, it is. Now, this isn't a new concept. Shakespeare got pretty famous. To be or not to be, that is the question. No, actually what he was saying is to is or not to is. So that's not even a new concept. See, there's just really nothing new under the sun. You're just coming back around into your place of power. And when you start playing with this just a little bit, and you start activating and energizing your non-physical power, your power, then what happens? Then all of a sudden, little things, you can think of something, it shows up in your reality, and you go, holy crap, I thought of a, pick something, a super gelato, and super gelato showed up in my world. Boom. And you go, wow. And we say start with simple, easy little things. You know, you don't have to move Australia, although it is moving. You don't have to cause a tsunami. Bob's caused several. You don't have to cause an earthquake to stop air traffic, but a lot of our clients have. And they know this, and they don't. They're so busy pleasing and liking themselves, they don't even care if you're inconvenienced. Their feelings become unhurtable. Because they understand that love is not an emotion. Love is a force field. If you get what love is and you can separate it from an emotion, then love is patient. It is kind. It is allowing. It's whether it's a force field. It's included or excluded. You can love someone from 3,000 miles away, but you also can sleep with them, too. And engage in coitus prolifically.
From that far away?
From that far away, certainly.
Okay.
And from that close. There's some people that share the same toothbrush and can't stand each other in the same bedroom.
Probably a lot of those.
Well, of course, of course. And that's, see, that's the, when you start realizing that it's just indeed a force field, then it takes all the pressure off. Very wonderful, very wonderful. Now, we rambled on just a little bit. Did you have other questions you'd like to embrace?
I'm kind of enjoying going with this flow.
Well, you're getting primer course. We're getting the primer course. Now, when we have sessions, private engagement with human creators, it's a little bit different than this is. How that works, once you come into your power, you can know all, everything, future, past, present. There is no time, so all can be known. Well, if you knew what was going to happen tomorrow, you could plan accordingly. Not wonder, not desire. If you knew, it could make a great difference in your propensity of what you're going to experience. Mm. Just like you have to remember what you ate for breakfast yesterday. Well, if you knew what you were going to eat tomorrow, you'd plan accordingly, would you not? Mm-hmm. In private sessions, we can. The first how we run it is, there are first thing you got to get all the rules, and the first rule is that there are no rules. So that's a rule, though. No rules is still a rule. So the rules are there are no rules. And then as you are focused on asking anything you want to know, you can consult with non-physical. Non-physical will answer your question. And the more focused you are on that asking, the better you seem to like the engagement and the outcome. But every single time, without fail or exception, at the end of the day, what we're about is you, the marvelous human creator, coming into your place of power. And if that's what happens, good, good. If not, repeat until you do.
Well, so how do we...
Hey, Lance, let me give some local color. Remember what you're going to say. The man who speared the third Jesus at the crucifixion is still alive. He will not allow himself to die until Jesus comes back, and he's in, I think, a Tibetan monastery. Melchizedek, who is ageless, he is in Afghanistan now, never left his body. We've all heard of St. Germain. That's a true fact. He's a very active business and was very involved with the 911 tragedy. Let's see. What's another fact? I will read you from
Tragedy.
Oh, no. Great celebration. Yeah, great celebration. Okay. I have to be spiritually correct when I'm talking to Ion. He's around them. Okay, so here it is, Nostradamus, the third century. The sixth quatrain, it says, within the closed temple the lightning will enter. The citizens within their fort injured. Horses, cattle, men, the wave will touch the wall. Through famine, drought, under the weakest armed.
Huh. Interesting. How would you interpret that?
Ion is here. You see, cosmic awareness came through in the late 60s, and they point out that all principalities, religions, and power bases were built on the principle of Rai, which meant the original separateness.
Rai, say it that way, Bob. It's much more fun.
Yeah, as my buddy Steve and I have been saying for 40 years, Rai! I mean, remember, you know, that traditional images of the Mongols raiding the civilized. Rai! As they slash the sword down on you, right? It's right there. They're doing, evoking the power of separateness. Well, all temples are built on that, and Ion has done a lot on Solomon's Temple. And I want to say, you can go to informationfarm.blogspot.com. They are presenting all kinds of Ion stuff, excerpted from radio shows and the 11-hour tailgates after. It's all there. Look up Ion at that website. But the principalities. So look, within the closed temple, the lightning will enter. Ion is the lightning, I'm saying. I may not be right, but this is how I take it. So the closed temple, the principality, the oligarchy, the Vatican, the head of the Buddhism, the head of the cults, any temple. Within the closed temple, the lightning will enter, because the closed temple is built on an idea of separation within your own power. The citizens within their fort injured. It's like in Lost, when the smoke monster slams that temple and all the guys that run around there get wiped out. So if you're still living within the temple and its law, if you're worried about martial law and all this constitutional rights and worried about world government and all these things, you're within the fort and you're likely to get injured.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Horses, cattle, men, the wave is a multi-level meaning. We'll touch the wall. The wall I leave to Ion to speak about because I'm under wraps about how much I'm allowed to talk about that. And then
we can clean that up. Just here at the wall is a point of reference that historically gets crammed down human creator's thought until everybody's looking at it. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
Oh,
everything
is
about the wall, the walls of Jericho. It's all about building a wall. That's how you make a good neighbors with big fences. And Winston Churchill spent his life Wall Street.
Yeah.
That's right. Here at the wall. At Trinity Church, then Winston Churchill retires and goes to his little place and starts building walls from his wheelchair. It's all about building walls, and those separations are the ones that are going to be dismissed. When you come into your own power, all of the cares that you would have presented to you won't matter to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, therefore, if they talk about, let's say that you are bond or you're free, or you're this, or you're that. All that won't matter. You won't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So horses, cattle, men, the wave, that's the emotion of multitude, the population discarnately projected through electric and digital media, slamming into the wall on the wave coming from the emptying guff.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay. Through famine, drought, we all heard about that in the Bible, you know, a lot of famine, a lot of drought. Under the weakest
in
arm.
In the Bible, have you read the newspaper of late?
Under the weakest arm, that's an interesting phrase. The weakest are armed. If you're armed and trying to protect the wall, you're weak.
Well, you'll be dashed against the wall.
Yeah.
And that ain't our words, them's Nostradamuses.
Wow. It sounds like whatever is part of the separation of illusion and the old paradigms is what's coming crashing down.
Yes, indeed. And this isn't new. This isn't new. They talk about the new age. Well, honey, we're talking about the old age. You go back. You go back, get to old age, and then you'll figure it out. Because it's very simple. They did everything they could do besides cram it down your throat hole. They've put it on the looky box. They've done everything they can to get you into the notion. To get you in the notion, guess what? When you get to the end of the rope, they say, tie a knot and hang on. And we say, let go. Let go. They have glib cliches. They say, let go and let God. And we say, well, that'll work good if you realize who God is. Because many times when you humans talk about God, they talk like they know, when they don't know who God is. You are God.
Yeah.
You're created in his image. They got that right. That breath is what sets the soul, a stenographer that keeps track of everything. Those that have had near-life experiences, they say, there was this tunnel and this light, and my entire life flashed before my very eyes. That's nothing other than the stenographer, your soul, reading back what went on. And the reason that's done is every realized, manifestated, now there's your new word, manifestation that you created in this world is here. If somebody builds a building and puts your name on it, if you lay your body down, that building hangs around. Okay?
Every thought you've ever thought. Ian, hold it. Got a few minutes. Just want to throw this in. A couple of thoughts to provoke people. I noticed that Ian, when he talks about old age, and he talks and advocates eating raw sewage, very primitive stuff. And I asked him about the life of the caveman, and he said the caveman didn't even know he had a foot. He could not see the body parts we take for granted.
Well,
interesting point. That's what I appreciate about Ion. He's very aware of our physiology and the cultural differences. You look into that, we know cavemen had incredibly different sensibility than us. But Ion knows that and includes that. And therefore, if Ion's dealing with all spanses of existence, he must include the caveman sensibility. And they had no problem surviving with raw sewage. And if they can, we can.
And they didn't have a radar range.
That's true. That's a relatively new thing, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yes. So are intuitive and our psychic abilities also being returned to us? Because it seems that...
They never left.
Okay, good.
They never left. What you did is... Some people have got electricity running through their house. They just don't have anything plugged in to know. Hey, Lance, do you have lights in your house?
Yes.
How do you activate them?
With a switch.
Well, what kind of switch?
A plastic on-off switch.
Uh-huh. And what do you call it?
A light switch.
Why don't you call it a dark switch?
That's a good question. I don't
know.
I never thought of
it. Does it not turn the light off as many times as it turns the light on?
It certainly does.
Well, exactly. It's the point of attraction, you see. And we're not talking about that as a law. We're talking about that as just how your words apply.
Mm.
And it's just that simple. Humans make all this stuff hard. Spiritual gifts, people talk about activating their spiritual gifts, and all you're doing is you've got a toaster and you've figured out how to plug it in. There's no inky, misty darkness or no superficial outside forces that makes toast. You've just plugged into the electricity, put the bread in the toaster, push the thing down, turn the knob the way you want it. It does a certain amount of thing and goes pop, and then you got toast. Well, spiritual gifts are exactly the same way. Everybody can have toast. It's not limited. Oh, only the good people can have toast. No, only the bad people can have toast. Oh, they didn't deserve that toast that they got. Well, see, it gets silly when we say it like that, but same way with spiritual gifts. Yes.
Well, our toaster just popped up, and we've actually run out of time. But I wanted, Bob, to mention your websites, all of them, that people can find you at, and I wanted to thank you both for such a wonderful and enlightening show.
Yes, indeed.
Lance, I think Seth potted me down, but I was screaming at the end. I wanted to get a couple of neat things in. The soul, when you sneeze, that's when ghosts pass through you, and the soul stays attached to the earth. Something else goes to the guff. Go to howionic.com, howionic.com, and listen to the rants of Ion and the wisdom and the joke and the humor and how it's all disappeared.
And they are wonderful, and I've been listening to them, and I highly encourage everybody to do that. All right, Bob and Ion, you have my deepest thanks, and I hope we get to have another chat again in the near future.
Yes, indeed.
No
Thank
problem.
You,
we'll be
always.
There.
All right. Thank you.
You
both so much.
Thank you, Lance.
Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Trust me, y'all. Trust me when I tell you this is all heart, y'all. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, peoples? This is The Worderer, and you can check out my flavor at TheWorderer.com. And I just love listening to the biggest internet radio network on the planet. You heard me? The planet. Yeah, BBS Radio, because if it ain't mainstream, then it's gotta be on BBSRadio.com.